All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, where we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Yesterday, we began a study of demon possession. And we find that there are many people who yet believe that demon possession occurs today. We find that that's true because of what they see in movies, what they, and many of people get information from the internet, and so that there's all kinds of those that advocate demon possession today. We, of course, have many examples in the Bible of demon possession, and certainly we believe all of that. We have many ideas concerning the origin of demons. And as we began our end of our study rather yesterday, we were talking about the character and the nature of the demon possession, the effect that it had upon those that were possessed. We talked about how that more than one could possess a person, how that it would sometimes afflict a person with blindness or maybe the inability to speak. We find that in what we pick up in our study today, we see that there were some who were prone to violent convulsions, like what we read in Matthew 17 when the man came to Jesus in verse 15 and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Also, we find that some demons had excessive strength. This we can read in Matthew chapter 8, down at about verse 28, where there the man, or there are two men that are demon-possessed in the country of the Gergenes, and we find that it states in verse 28 that there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceeding furious, so that no one could pass that way. We find that the statement is also made in the Mark's account in Mark 5, and also in Luke's account in Luke 8, that he was able to break chains, and any way that they tried to bound him, that was unsuccessful due to his excessive strength. And then, too, we find that the effect that those demons had on some individuals were characterized by both emotional illness and sort of what we would call antisocial behavior. It's in Luke chapter 8, there at about verse 27, and when he had stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the country, city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Two, it's important to distinguish between the cause and the effect in these cases. The cause was that of demon possession. The effect was physical and emotional problems. And the scriptures never confused the two. What I mean by that is, like, for instance, a passage in Matthew 4, there in verse 24, then his fame, talking about Jesus, went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So we see then that there's a distinction made between demon possession and those that simply had the physical problems of as it talks about diseases, torments, epileptics, and paralytics. So let's keep this in mind, this distinction from demon possession, from the physical and mental illnesses. Not only that, but as we look at demon possession, let's be sure we understand the purpose of why demons were allowed to possess individuals. The reason for that is that demon possession allowed Jesus to demonstrate his authority. He had power over diseases, over physical ailments. We read about this in Matthew chapter 9. Notice with me as we begin reading with verse 20. And suddenly a woman had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I will be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. So we see that the issue of blood, in another instance, in John 4, for instance, in verses 46 through 54, here we have the nobleman's son who was born blind. Jesus had the authority to relieve these illnesses, these diseases. He even had authority over material objects, the law of nature. In Matthew 14, remember, he fed the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In Matthew 17, verse 24, there was the piece of money that was taken from the fish's mouth in order to pay for the taxes that Jesus miraculously provided. In John 2, in those first 11 verses, we have record of the very first miracle that Jesus ever performed, and that was the turning of water into the wine at the wedding feast. And then there was John 21, and those first 14 verses that deal with how that he enabled his disciples that had fished all night and not caught anything to cast their nets to the other side, and there they were able to harvest fish that would nearly sunk the boat. So he had authority over material things. He had authority over the laws of nature. And we know he had authority over death. There was Jairus' daughter that we read about in Mark 5. And then many of us, most of us, recall the raising of Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. We see that Jesus being able to have authority over demons was evidence of his coming kingdom. In Matthew chapter 12, here's what we read beginning with verse 28. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Jesus could command demons to leave a person. He was in control of their destination. Remember the case of Mark chapter 5, where they were possessed with demons, and he caused the demons to come out of the person and enter a herd of swine. Jesus could command. He had that kind of authority. He could command the demon in Mark 1 and verse 34, as well as Luke 4, 41, to keep quiet. In fact, even the 70 disciples able to proclaim in Luke 10, verses 17 and 18, "Lord, even the demons are subject in thy name." So what about demon possession today? The New Testament leads to the conclusion that demon possession was a first century experience, allowed for a very specific reason. And the so-called modern examples of demon possession that we have supposedly taken place today bear little resemblance to the genuine examples that we have described in the New Testament. In fact, let me just say this, the contrast between so-called demon possession today and the demon possession that we read clearly about in the New Testament is drastically different. Miraculous gifts ended when the revelation of God ended. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 beginning. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. We see then that that which is in part was the revelation of God. Paul received some, Peter received some, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John received some. It's not until all of those revelations came together that for you and I, we have the complete revelation of God's will. So, demon possessions as well as the miraculous spiritual gifts, they fulfill their purpose. The kingdom has come. Jesus has been confirmed as the King of Kings. The prophets and the unclean spirits were to depart out of the land. Demon possessions and prophecy would end at the same time, according to the prophecy that Zechariah made in Zechariah 13. In verse 1, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will be no longer remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to depart from the land. See, demon possession ended. Satan and demons, we know, were bound by Christ. When he went to the cross, suffered and died because of the devil, but when he resurrected from the dead, he gained power over death and power over Satan. Friends, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We're told in James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So there's a contrast, a great contrast, between demon possession as we read about it in the New Testament and so-called demon possession that we hear about now. We find that the process of casting them out is different. The effect on the one that is possessed, the behavior of the demons, all of that is different. And the reaction of the demons to the one casting them out is all different from what we read about in the Scriptures. Yes, we must believe every biblical reference that is made to demon possession, but that does not necessitate that we believe that these same type of events occur today. Certainly, Satan exerts great influence today. But however, as God does not work miraculously in this age, but influences us through his word and through the events of providence, so also the devil wields his power indirectly and non-miraculously through various means to enslave us, to deceive us. So it is, then, we choose, whether we serve God or whether we serve the devil. We choose to be enslaved by the devil, or you can also choose to be set free from Christ. But again, the choice is yours. Just like what Joshua propositioned to the children of Israel in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org. where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.